Rectangle.
Cool, so how are you?
I'm alright.
Mm. It's a nice.
Radio Rectangle presents Jeremy Allen Eels. Eels.
In my heart there lives a little riddle. I'm always trying to find my way. Everything feels older in the morning. I'll find an answer someday. But I'm feeling kind of fuzzy. But you know I'm alright. I'm feeling kind of fuzzy. Web that I weave, the dusty room of an aching mind. Anything that keeps the sun rising, I gotta see if I can find. But I'm feeling kind of fuzzy. But you know I'm alright. I'm feeling kind of fuzzy.
But the future looks bright. So you're just in London doing promotion at the moment?
Yeah.
You're not playing any gigs at the moment. Okay, cool. I'm really enjoying the new album.
Okay.
I read in the press release that you often want to get out of music, but then you said you feel like you want to get out of it, but then you always come back to it and find you know.
I've stopped with that charade, because I've done enough other things now, where I really realize how much I appreciate music.
Yeah.
And now it's just the best thing in the world.
How did that sort of come to you? I mean, is it just...
I didn't have any perspective because it's all I've done for so long, and then doing other things like writing a book or, you know, doing music for a film and stuff like that. It's like, you think, you know, there's headaches involved in anything.
Mm.
And so there's headaches involved in making my records, and then I think, you know, this will be a nice vacation from making, you know, what I usually make. And then I find out all the other things have much worse headaches.
Mm.
The headaches involved in making the Eels records is, you know, not that bad.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I've tried writing, and you get to the point where it's sort of, you know, writing something substantial, and there's a kind of, there's inspiration involved, but then you realise how much slog's involved.
Yeah.
It's quite a lot, isn't it?
Yeah, like, just, there's nothing more fun than... Especially like this new record, there's nothing more fun than making it. You know, it was definitely like the high point of this last year for me was the month we spent making that record.
Mm.
A happy accident, me running into you. Who do I have to thank? To what do I owe?
Do you, it seems like this is maybe more of a more sort of, I hate using the word, but kind of organic in the sense that the band, more collaborative, would that be true?
Yeah, no, definitely true. It's, previously, these guys have been the touring band of the last couple of tours, and Cool G Murder has been involved with me for a long time now, and we've written a lot of songs together, but the rest of the guys, we'd never written anything together, and we all were involved in writing this album.
Okay. When you started out, Eels initially, were you writing on your own, and then you started writing with other people?
I've always been open to collaborating. It's something I've always... enjoy and welcome, because it's nice to get things out of someone else that you can't get out of yourself or wouldn't get out of yourself or you know. So sometimes it just depends. Sometimes you do it by yourself, sometimes you do it with somebody else.
Yeah. Do you learn from that process as well?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the biggest thing I learned from the process of making this record was, you know, we went in there with no plan. And usually there's some plan or idea or concept ahead of time, and this time I just went in and said, let's see what happens.
Mm.
And I learned that that's a good way to do it sometimes, because in the past I would be very I'm always open to other people's ideas, but if it sounds like a bad idea, historically I would say, let's not try that. And this time I wouldn't let myself do that. That was the only rule. I had to say, let's try it, no matter how bad it sounded.
Mm.
And so many times in the making of this record, something happened that sounded like a bad idea to me that turned out to be a great idea.
Okay, cool. And so you just kind of run with that when yeah. And
I guess it like taught me a certain kind of patience too, to just let's hear this idea out and let's see where it goes.
Mm. Do you think patience is something you just sort of acquire as you get older anyway? It's kind of like...
Oh, hopefully, from experience.
You know,
like this, I'll be a more patient person now in recording because of this, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Shrouded in darkness has led you to this moment in the light. It's alright, wonderful, glorious, wonderful.
And you moved to a new studio.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I think, you know, listening to these tracks, there's a sort of ebullience to them, you know. It's a really kind of, they feel quite, you know, invigorated, I guess, really. Would that be part of the...
That's how it sounds to me, you know, and it's hard for me to have any perspective on how it sounds to anyone else. But, yeah, it does feel invigorating to me.
Mm.
And I think because we felt invigorated at the time, you know, like everybody seemed... to be kind of buzzing, you know, with the creativity.
Mm. Yeah.
And it was just maybe just a case of lucky timing, you know, where we had all been dormant long enough and we were, you know, we just found the perfect time to do something creative.
Yeah. Does it feel like that sometimes, you know, you sort of all come together and then there's almost like alchemy, you know?
Yeah, totally with us, especially because we've traveled the world in close quarters so much.
Mm. And you still get on?
We're all good friends. You know, it's a rare case of a close knit little family that really I have to say we're a delightful bunch.
Yeah.
I hear people saying that a lot. People seem surprised, you know, when they spend any time around us that we're not as scary as they might expect.
Mm. Yeah, because I mean, in some ways, I was thinking about this the other day. Like the sort of idea of, I mean, a band is almost like a gang, and in a sense, that's kind of as you know. I mean, I'm like 40 next year, and I don't hang around in a gang. You know what I mean? So in a way, it's quite an unnatural sort of.
Yeah, I'm a bit childish in that way. That I still really like to be part of a gang, and part of that might be because like I lost my family early. And even to begin with, my family was so messed up and weird that I always kind of made friends with my family.
Mm. So it's almost like a more functional sort of family in a sense, I don't know.
Yeah, but I'm like the pathetic old guy who, you know, gets upset when, you know, one of his friends gets married and has children because it's the end of the gang, you know.
Yeah, when they, you know, throw children into the equation.
Oh, I mean, brats ruin everything. Yeah.
How selfish is that?
Yeah. What about us?
So let's go through some of the tracks on the album. Just Bombs Away seems like a good place to start, a kind of mission statement, really.
Yeah. Well, it's a good place to start, I thought, because, you know, the album cover is orange, but there's a plane dropping bombs, so it's like, it's a little more to think about than it just like if it was like a flower or something on the cover. So it's like, I guess the point of the whole thing is getting to a good place, but it can't start in a good place. It starts in a kind of angry place.
Full impact.
Well, I mean, it's just a song about somebody who's been kind of complacent and pushed around just, you know, one day too long.
Mm.
They finally snap.
Okay. Like Falling Down or something.
What's that?
Falling Down, film with Michael Douglas.
Oh. Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, I guess so, yeah. Yeah.
Like New Alphabet, that's got a kind of Tom Waitsy feel, and Tom Waits is a fan, right?
That's what I hear.
Yeah. That must be pretty.
How does that have a Tom Waits feel? I mean, I love that idea, but I don't know how that one seems. How? Tell me, because I'm interested.
I just think it had a kind of earthy blues kind of, you know.
Oh, that's true. It does have the blues guitar thing. Yeah.
It's quite growly.
Yeah.
Tom Waits been a fan, but if Tom Waits was a fan of me, I'd wake up every day going, fucking hell.
Yeah, no, believe me, that is like, if I had to pick some outside source that I feel like validated me or something, it would be that one, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you know, the day that I'd heard that rumor long ago. I'd heard a story that he was in a record store and he bought one of our records. It's like somebody was in the store and saw him and reported this back to me. And I still didn't believe it. I was like, that must be a mistake, you know? And then when it was confirmed to me, where there was no more mistaking it, that it was that I, you know, there was actual proof. It was a good day for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
That one is, this was the first album we made in my new studio, which is a lot bigger than what we made all the other records in, which was a cramped basement, and we have a whole house now, and the thing about like a song like Stick Together is that we can do something now that was almost impossible to do in the past, which was all play together as a live band at the same time instead of like build it piece by piece. So that's actually us all in the same room.
Right. So it's a bigger studio and it sort of facilitates being able to just
we can still do it the way we used to, one piece at a time if the song calls for that, but we can also do something like Stick Together where we can all just play it in one take, you know.
And I guess that's where you get the sort of energy from.
You definitely get an energy from that that you wouldn't get otherwise.
Mm-hmm. That kind of reminds me of a sort of like a traditional way of writing. I really like it in a kind of classic folk song like The Boxer, Simon Garfunkel, but I suppose the metaphor as well.
I didn't realize I would be good at writing sports metaphors. I'm not a sports guy, but you know, my antenna is always up for, you know, phrases and things, and I think somewhere on TV or in conversation I heard somebody use the term on the ropes, and I was just like, you know, just clicked with me instantly, because it was how I was feeling at the time. I felt like I was kind of grappling for where do I go next artistically. And you know, I usually know where I'm going way ahead of time, and I didn't this time. And so I felt like, yeah, I'm kind of on the ropes here. You know, it's like I could easily go down if I don't fight to win this one.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I find myself in this old bind, watching the death of my hopes, in the ring so long, gonna prove them wrong. I'm not knocked out, but I'm on the ropes. I've got enough fight left inside this tired heart to win this one and walk out on my feet. No retreat. I may never get everything I bet, but I'm a man who always copes. I'm hurting bad and fighting mad. I'm not knocked out, but I'm on the ropes.
Okay, cool. And the title track, you seem to sort of break with a lot of convention, and it seems like kind of fun with the way it goes, cuts around. Is it self-produced, the album? Or
I produced it, but it's extremely collaborative in the writing of the music. A lot of us were, all of us in the band were involved at some point in the writing.
Mm. Okay, cool.
Even the drummer, who actually wrote a lot of the music on that last song, on the title track.
Right, okay. So he does...
And I don't mean he just hit things. Yeah. That doesn't count in my book. He actually wrote things on actual musical instruments.
Oh, okay. So he moonlights.
Yeah, everybody in the band plays several instruments.
Mm. Okay, cool.
The sum of all it's alright.
People have told me about the you playing at Glastonbury, and that was really like you're really kind of settled into this band, aren't you? Because that lots of people who said, you know, they saw it were kind of taken aback by how good it was.
You know, what's funny about Glastonbury is we made a big splash, but at the time, if you had asked me during the show, I would have said it was going horribly. I didn't think it was going over well, like, because the sun was so hot. It was the hottest day England's ever had, as far as I've experienced, you know. And it was right on us.
Yeah.
Like I remember, like, I had a glass of water, or a cup of water, a plastic cup of water, and I leaned down and it felt like a cup of hot tea. That's how hot it was. And we were just out of it, you know. We just come from somewhere else and, you know, just barely got there in time to play. And I just felt like, this isn't working at all, but it just goes to show you never know, like, what it's like on the other side, you know?
You just have to keep going, I guess.
You just keep going. And then, like, I came off stage and all these people were running up and hugging me, like, that was amazing. And I was like, really, it was? It starts to kind of beat you into submission, where you just accept it as your way of life. In the early days, I used to fight it, and then at some point, I was like, you know, this is kind of fun.
Yeah.
It's a grind, you know. It's a tough lifestyle. It would be a lot more fun if I was 19, but you know.
Yeah, sure. a couple of years ago, I saw, well, maybe it was last year, Parallel Worlds, Parallel Lives.
Oh, yeah.
You did. I thought that was amazing, actually. Really.
I thought they did a really good job.
Yeah. I think I read somewhere, correct me if I'm wrong, you said something about you thought that the crew were, at points were like hoping you'd cry or something.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a scene towards the end where they bring me the tapes that I found in my basement, and it's the first time I've heard my father's voice since I was 19. And they're you just, like, you walk into the hotel room and you know this is coming, and they're just like, come in, you know, they're talking to you like you're a little child, like, come in, okay, are you ready for this? You know, like, are you going to cry? You know?
Yeah. Which is what they want, isn't it?
Yeah, totally. They just want drama, you know, so they're like, you know.
Yeah.
It was like a battle, you know, like all for 2 weeks just trying not to cry.
Yeah. Did you find after doing that, a couple of years on or whatever, I mean, I don't like, I hate the word, like, closure or anything like that, but did it reconcile you more with, you know?
Yeah, definitely. No, I think it was probably the single one thing in my life that, you know, really made a difference as far as, you know, moving on.
Mm.
That and writing my book, you know, which happened around the same time. So that was, it's nice. Like, I don't sit around and think about all that stuff much anymore. You know, I got a lot of it out of my system.
Sure. And does that, how does that impact on you creatively?
Well, it frees me up to move on to other stuff.
Mm. You know? Try new things, do different.
Yeah, which is a good thing, because I've dealt with that stuff pretty extensively.
Yeah. Cool. Well, good luck with it. And
thanks.
I'm very much, I look forward to it coming out and come to see the band.
Hope it's good. You never know.
I was as good as Glastonbury.
It won't be that good.
Thanks very much.
And it won't be that bad.
Yeah. That's all subjective at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Le monde rectangulaire de Freaksville Records.